When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
When I go to Sacramento, I will pump up Sacramento.
Turner Sparks just got married and has moved home to America after 12 years living in China. Sir Michael Ira Kaplan has two kids, a wife, a job, and has spent his entire life in the USA. Neither one can figure their country out. This is Lost in America.
All right, everybody, welcome to episode 54. My name's Turner Sparks.
I am Cap in America, Michael Kaplan.
Yes, on the podcast today. First of all, it's our one-year anniversary.
Episode 54 is our one-year anniversary.
We don't know why.
How's the math? Is there like a leap? Was there a leap 2 weeks added to this?
There must have been.
I don't know.
They say a year's 53 weeks. They're wrong.
Is it 52 weeks, though?
Is it 52?
I'm pretty sure I learned that in school.
In China, it's 53.
Yeah, so 54, I mean, are we going on?
Whatever. We're 54.
There's a lunar calendar. Is that what we're going with?
Or in America, it's 53. In Lost in America, it's 54. So our guest today is our first guest ever.
Yes.
Joe Schaefer, coming back for our one-year anniversary.
And is he bringing Billy Bush?
I got shit canned.
I would want him to. I think that
the
fans roundly rejected Billy Bush as a guest.
I got shit canned. Right.
So, but he might be bringing other people. We're not sure.
Okay, yeah, hopefully he brings some people.
But we do know Joe Schaefer's coming back. Joe Schaefer was our first guest ever. We talked about dating in America. He had just come back. He's trying to date.
And now he's married?
No, I think he's even more lost than he was a year ago.
All right, so we're going to reconnect and see how he's doing.
We'll do that. Plus, he and I have been here now a year doing stand-up around America. He's going back to China in a couple weeks. I'm going back in a couple months to tour Asia. We have this weird thing where we have very good careers in Asia.
Yeah.
And then we're building our careers here, but we're not anywhere near what we are out there.
Are you guys both planning on staying there and starting your own podcast about like Lost in China?
Yeah, maybe. No,
no.
I'm coming back.
Okay, good.
But
I don't want to get worried here.
So we're going to tell you about what our careers are actually like. 7-8 years into comedy, what the real situation is, how we make money, how...
You make money?
Yeah, well, you gotta wait and listen. Right, find out.
Find out.
This pod makes millions, I don't tell you.
Oh, shit. Gotta get a better agent.
Gary Sparks is cooking the books.
Oh, my God.
So, how we make money, how we are touring, how we're getting into clubs in New York, all that. Anything anyone asks us on a daily basis, like, you're a comedian? Does that pay? How many times a month do you do a show? Thinking you were gonna say like two. All those questions.
Yeah.
So, but a couple dates I want to announce. I'm coming out to California very soon. First of all, wait, tonight? So, I'm going to be at New York Comedy Club tonight.
Okay.
Joe Schaefer, everyone with Esther Steinberg, with everybody, with Shuley Egger from the Howard Stern Show. This show started out as a hurricane relief show for Hurricane Irma. And then the hurricane hit Puerto Rico. And then we decided, we're like, wait, if we do... Because then it became like really unpopular to support relief in Hurricane Irma and the Houston one because it means you don't like Puerto Ricans.
Yeah, the liberal thing is to only support Puerto Rico now, I think.
I know.
I think you want to take your money back.
But the problem is that we're doing this in conjunction with University of Miami Alumni Association, so it would be weird to do a University of Miami thing, school, and not celebrate Miami.
There's no Puerto Ricans at your school? I don't...
No, there are!
Okay. Probably so they're doing it for everybody.
So we're doing it Miami, we're sticking with Miami, plus the Puerto Rico. I don't know about maybe in Texas, too. I think it goes to that as well. So
And the Puerto Rico thing's a good cause, because my son talks about the weather all the time, and he always talks about Hurricane Harvey and Irma. Never talks about Puerto Rico, because he missed it. The media didn't cover it.
Also, so I'm doing that tonight. Also, coming up, L.A., I'm going to be in L.A., October 24th and October 28th. I'm doing the Laugh Factory in Hollywood, the Ha Ha Cafe in North Hollywood. And then I'm going to the Bay Area. I'm going to be in Mill Valley at the Throckmorton Theater on October 31st.
That's finally happening, Mill Valley.
Halloween night.
I feel like we've been talking about that one.
I did it 6 months ago.
Oh, right.
Yeah. And then I'm going to be in San Francisco at the Setup Comedy Club on November 2nd and 3rd. So come out to any of those. Get your tickets online. Go to turnersparks.com. It's all there. All right. Is that good? Should we? Yeah. Oh, 1 year anniversary?
We got a live pod coming up, too. Did you mention that?
No. And the live pod, November 30th.
Yeah, the big one.
Live podcast. Who's going to be there?
Michael H. Weber, screenwriter. One of the hottest screenwriters in town right now is going to be there.
You know him from The Disaster Artist, from this podcast.
Yeah, 500 Days of Summer, The Fall in Our Stars.
He's promised.
He will be there. He's got a busy schedule. He's going to make time. If you have fans have any questions about movies, maybe we can get him to answer a few on the air. He told me about meeting the fans, doing meet and greet, taking some pictures.
Autographs,
yeah. So
sign their 500 Days of Summer copy.
Yeah, so get tickets to that, to our event, if you're a big fan of Weber, even if you don't like us.
And also, Ronnie Chang from The Daily Show.
Yes.
We just secured him.
We booked him. Do I got to pick him up at the airport, or he lives in New York?
He lives in New York.
All right. Nice.
The Daily Show is filmed here.
All right.
He's going to be on our live show, so he's going to be doing stand-up, plus he's going to be doing an interview with us. He might stick around for the news. We'll see what happens.
All right.
Ronnie Chang, that's great. He's like one of the biggest comedians out there. He's fantastic.
Yeah, and he's on brand.
He's on
brand. What this podcast is all about.
He's from Malaysia, and then Australia. Malaysian, Australian. He's done some time in China. I think he went to college in America. He's everywhere.
We'll look it up before he gets on.
So we got Weber. We got Ronnie Chung. We got it all. Blue Shirt's going to be in the audience.
Yeah.
He'll be taking free legal advice for the first 10 people to buy him Red Bull vodkas.
All right.
First 10 only.
Is that a binding contract?
Yeah. All right. And we got a lot. Let's get to Lost in America.
Get to it. Play the freaking music.
1 year anniversary.
Special Lost in America.
All right, we're back. De'Aaron Roots. What a song.
Yeah, and that's one, the podcast has progressed so nicely over the last year. We've made so much progress in the music.
The music.
I mean, who were those jokers in the beginning when we started this thing up?
Who Huey, Talking Heads?
Some guy, Huey something, I don't know.
Huey, some news.
It's
Blue Shirt said he was going to sue us.
Yeah.
De'Aaron Roots came in to the rescue,
yes,
swooped in, wrote us an original tune.
That song feels like it's been there from the beginning.
It does.
Yeah.
And the fans love it. The people love it. The people out on the street love it.
That's all that matters.
The guy at Shake Shack, he loves it. Everybody.
I don't know how you're waiting in lines for Shake Shack, but that's a whole.
So, De'Aaron Roots. Okay, speaking of food, I'm lost in America this week.
Yes.
Cap, riddle me this. As far as I've ever understood, waffles is something you eat for breakfast.
Of course.
I was walking through the East Village of New York the other day, then the Lower East Side, walking my way through town. Every shop now, every restaurant, every like super cool, fancy restaurant serves waffles for dinner like it's some new style of food. They're like, now only, we have waffles. Get them at 7 p.m., nighttime dinner waffles. And it's supposed to blow my head out the back of my brain that all of a sudden they're serving waffles. They act like I'm supposed to not know what waffles are.
Yeah, waffles are in.
Waffles
pancakes were in like about 10 years ago, I think. The fancy syrups were in.
I don't get, they act like waffles was somehow out and now it's back in. They're trying to sell me waffles Vietnamese pho noodles.
Well, they've gone through these different.
Like it's Thai food.
Right. Well, they're going through this. They have to keep reinventing the wheel to get you excited as a consumer. So.
Yeah, but they went through everything.
They started with pancakes, right? And then syrup became a thing. We're like, there's people.
What?
You might have missed this, but while you were gone, there are people in New York and LA type places who will literally go to a place and they will not eat pancakes no matter how good they are unless the syrup is natural. Like the real maple syrup. Like they were like, I won't eat it if it's not. Like show me the bottle, that kind of thing. And then waffles was the logical next step because what else can you do?
Yeah, it's a logical next step for breakfast.
Yeah, but they gotta. It's a really cheap thing, so they gotta get you into it for dinner.
Okay, but I have another theory.
All right.
Here's what happened, in my opinion. They started out with Chinese food in like the 70s, right? I'm going way back.
Right. Okay.
That was exotic.
Uh-huh.
I remember being a kid and my parents being like, we've never had Chinese food. You ever heard of this? It's an egg roll, you know? And then they went, when everyone got sick of that, they went Japanese.
Right.
And a couple guys, they were like, oh, when I was in the war, I had a piece of sushi. Let's go get sushi.
And then Mexican.
My friend Sean Horn, his dad John Horn was in the war, always took us to get sushi, right? And then They went through Thai food, and as we talked about, they went through Vietnamese food. They've gone through every single, at one point, Ethiopian food, which, like, they don't even have food. Right. What is that? They've gone through every version.
No utensils. It's great.
Oh, is that what it is? They've gone through every country, and they've run out of different countries.
So they're just back around to
and
America?
So they've come all the way back breakfast? To American, and they're just serving breakfast food for dinner and trying to convince us it's new food.
Right. Well, there's two things here. One, and I don't know if this is a thing, is that people, a lot of people, the younger people, the millennials, the whatever we are, they don't eat breakfast, okay? They just do not eat breakfast. So they, but they love comfort food. Comfort food's very trendy, too.
Okay.
Macaroni and cheese and burgers has a phase and all these like comfort barbecue. It's so waffles is a comfort food and a breakfast food. And so it's cool to eat it for dinner. And then part two is in Los Angeles.
It doesn't make any sense. Okay.
Well, my other thing is waffles and chicken is a thing in like LA.
That was my next rant.
Okay. So
I've had chicken. I've had waffles. So, you put them together. It doesn't make it different.
Well, hipsters love it. Okay. That's like a very like foodie hipster thing. I'll tell you how logical it is and how crazy it is. At Teddy's school, he gets school lunch every day, kindergarten.
Yeah.
And they have, it's a very, like, New York menu, and there'll be, like, kale salad and stuff.
No, there isn't.
So last Monday, they had chicken and waffle sandwich at his school.
A sandwich?
Yeah, a waffle sandwich with chicken in the middle, fried chicken.
Oh, my gosh.
And I said, Teddy, did you eat that? He's like, well, I took the chicken and waffles apart because it doesn't make sense to eat them together. He gets it.
Can I say this? All the people, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
All the people who are against... All the white people who are against cultural appropriation.
It's cultural appropriation.
Are the number one cultural appropriators.
Because
they took chicken and waffles from black people.
That's black people, right? Yeah.
They took jazz music from black people.
Yeah, yeah. No.
They took 90s hip hop from black people. They're taking everything.
Well, it's very hip to like eat that in LA and feel like you're, I don't know.
They're taking everything from black people, and then they're the number one people. You can't do that. You can't wear a sombrero. You can't eat a burrito. It's everything. Like, come on.
Yeah, yeah. So that's, I don't know. That's my answer. I don't know. I'm crazy. I love waffles. But I'm not eating him for dinner.
I'm not eating him. I'm not eating him at all anymore. Yeah. I've given up.
What else are you eating?
Wedge salad's my next one. Okay, a wedge
salad. That they didn't take from black people, I don't think.
No, they took that from very, very, very white people.
Yeah.
So, but here's what a wedge salad, I don't know if they have this across America or not. I've just recently found out what it is. I was like, ooh, I was at a restaurant. Wedge salad. Ooh, what's a wedge salad? Let me look it up. Guess what? It's a regular ass salad.
But
they
bigger lettuce, right?
No,
it's like big wedge lettuce, like the iceberg.
Okay, but you can have an iceberg lettuce in a regular salad. If they just change the name to tack on $4 to it and sell it to you for more money.
Yeah, and they serve them at steak.
And the businessman in me is like, oh,
yeah,
good on
no,
you.
No, it's smart. It's like a steakhouse thing. Maybe we saw it. You saw it at a steakhouse.
Maybe.
I mean, Randy, my wife will order a wedge. A wedge salad is usually like just lettuce and like a blue cheese dressing almost
blue
and
cheese.
Like bacon, I think.
Yeah, which we used to call. Blue cheese salad.
So Randy will order it with no bacon because, like, you don't need bacon around me if you ever want to kiss me again.
Okay.
But then I get angry. I'm almost like, get the bacon because I'm like, I'm paying for like a $14 salad of it's like lettuce and blue cheese. I don't know how to explain it to you, but I am in your camp on this.
I don't like that you can just change the shape of something. Oh, it looks like a wedge now, so it has $4 more. I never liked the Wendy's square hamburgers. I don't like a wedge salad now.
All right.
And that's, if I run for Trumbull County Supervisor, that's my platform. Oh,
run for New York, Brooklyn.
Let's do it. Let's get the wedge salad out of Brooklyn.
The alt-middle.
Alt-middle, baby.
All right, All right, so a year later, you're still lost. That's the good news. You're lost about a lot of things.
I'm
what's going
still
on
lost,
America?
And guess who else is still with us a year later?
Who's that?
Ents.
Ents, baby.
Ents is an app.
Still an app. It was an app a year ago. We didn't know it the first episode.
We met them in week three.
Week three, yeah, go back.
I think week four was our first pod here. We only did it here because Ikram was our guest. And he said, come to my studio. We record
we'll
in my studio.
We'll have to check back in with him soon.
Exactly. We got to get him back on.
Find out what's going on.
Ents has been supporting us from day one. We couldn't do it without them. You couldn't hear us without Ents.
Like day 30 or so. But yes, they've been great.
Day 17. Yeah. I'm not sure.
Download the app, ENSE.
Get it in the app store.
Send us questions at Lost in America.
Or
at Turner Sparks. Turner B. Sparks.
At Turner Sparks.
Turner Sparks.
At Lost in America. We're also doing live shows now. You can come to the Ents studio once a month and doing live stand-up shows.
All right.
The other day, we had Usama Siddiqui from the Millennial Pod on the show. Joe Schaefer was coming up later. Troy Allen was on there. It was great.
All right.
Had a good time.
Speaking of Joe.
Let's bring him in.
Let's bring the man in.
All right, we're back with our first guest ever, and now our 1-year anniversary guest, Joe Schaefer. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm back. I'm excited to get back on the pod. You guys have really stepped up your game. We're in a proper sound booth.
Yeah, buddy.
Look, there's flowers there now. Everything.
The pressure's on, man. We got a guy behind the glass over there.
I
think we got is that an engineer?
On the ones and twos. It is.
Yeah, that's our engineer, Will. And, good man.
Well, I'm going to claim credit that I gave you that send-off.
You did. You had your Billy Bush impression.
Whoa. Don't pull back the curtain.
Oh, excuse me. When you got your friend Billy Bush to be on the pod,
when you
called us on your phone from the room next to us, that really sent us through the roof.
I really had to expend a lot of my political capital in getting Billy.
Old friend Billy.
He was underground, and he didn't want to expose himself. But I was like, Billy, baby.
It was good. It was our first negative feedback we got in the pod. It was excellent.
Highly negative feedback. Yeah. But it was our first feedback of any kind. It was any press is good press.
It was to know people were listening. It was great.
It proved it.
Sometimes you got to ruffle some feathers and know people know you're legit.
Exactly.
Everyone was against Billy. We're the only people who gave him a platform.
Yeah. Well, us and Trump.
Us and Trump. That's true.
Good company
and
to be in.
Yes. Access Hollywood.
Yeah. So a year later, what's changed?
Yeah. Have what's been going America? On? You moved to the U.S. about the same time I did, maybe a month or two before, last summer.
Yeah.
Summer of 2016. It's been a little over a year doing stand-up comedy. I'm doing stand-up comedy. How's it going?
It's weird. I mean, stand-up, with stand-up, if you want to do stand-up in New York, you're doing it for exposure. If you want to make money, you got to travel to other places.
Yes,
I mean, I think that's
exactly.
A pretty...
There's 10,000... I mean, they tell you there's 10,000 comedians in New York. Do you believe that?
I feel like that's a real broad definition. When I started doing open mics here, even in China, it annoyed me a little bit. One of my pet peeves is people that do one open mic and then they're like, yeah, so I'm a comedian.
Oh, yeah. That's what I didn't realize there was going to be, too, is all these people, and I hear it's more in LA than it is in New York, all these people who are like struggling actors or actresses, their agent will tell them to learn how to do, like, take a stand-up class.
Right.
It'll get you better jobs. It'll make you, like, a more broad, like, to be hired as an actor. You'll be, like, a comedic actor, you know? And then also writers are doing it. I've talked to people who write for, like, whatever newspaper.
Newspaper? And, I thought you meant, like, a TV writer or something.
Well, they do, too. Yeah. And they're like, well, I do stand-up, like, once every 6 months or, like, you know, or I took a class one time. So I think you said that includes all them, right?
True.
When you say it's 10,000, but I would say
it's a lifetime membership. Once you've done it, it's like
highly disagree.
No,
I would say there's like 1,000. What do you think? Legitimately.
Yeah, and that sounds more realistic. If we're talking about comedians in a more traditional, I get on stage and make people laugh. Since I think probably 1,000 is more realistic. There's a lot, but yeah, 10,000 is absurd.
And then out of that 1,000, how many are like getting up? Because you and I can both get up pretty much whenever we want to. Would you say yes?
Yeah.
You can get on stage. Sure. Not saying open mics, but just like get on a show. If you want to do one, if you want to do 5, 6, 7 a week, you can do that.
Yeah, that's about where I'm at, sure.
The amount of people who can do that, what do you think, a few hundred?
Yeah, a few hundred.
Okay. So
you guys are the top few hundred.
Yeah, I would say
that's what you're saying.
Legitimately, I would say we are. So I'd say even at our level... I get paid. I mean, truthfully, I probably make, I don't know, 100, 200 bucks a month doing stand up specifically.
Wow, you hear that, ladies?
In New York City.
Yeah.
Right?
What a catch.
Right? What are you at you? In New York
see.
City. I'm not on the road. We're
on
the road after.
Week,
let's start with just in New York City.
I get those tip outs.
Yeah.
At the lantern. I may walk away with a little cool 20 bucks a month, maybe, if I'm lucky.
And then, oh, really?
Oh, well, no, that's not true. And then our
Turner's
and
just
our
taking
KMK
more money out of
them.
Yeah, we run a show.
It may be close to 100 a month. You know what? I'm going to say I'm pulling in triple digits.
The IRS
triple
is not
digits.
Listening to this, all right?
And that's us. Yeah, and that's being in, like, the top, I don't know, say 500.
Are we sure that the 500, that's not listening to this? Because I don't want to have to declare my stand-up earnings.
The IRS is not coming after the alt-mail.
I think you're safe. When I applied for Obamacare, I tried to declare that, and the lady was like, yeah, don't worry about it. I was like, I don't know. I made $6 last night at the lantern. She's like, no, you're good.
So you guys are the top, like, couple percent. And
yeah.
This is what the top few percent makes in the...
You are, but then there's this level that's just barely above us, which is... So we're doing all these bar shows, plus every once in a while doing a club. The clubs, you get paid like $50 a spot, something like that. Up to 100 if you're hosting, the good clubs will pay like 100, like Stand Up New York, whatever, those type of places. The seller, they'll pay $100 or something like that if you're hosting. So then the level I think we're trying to get to, Schaefer and I right now, is that next level right above where then you're still not making a lot of money just in New York, but you're basically getting paid to practice, which is all New York is. It's right. Going up and doing 10 minutes, 15 minutes at a time.
How do we get to that level?
Just keep doing it.
Well, you want to give me a list of who's on that level and I can start making them calls, have some knees broken?
We need you to, Tanya Harding.
Tanya Harding,
people.
A few of them. Just a couple. It's got to be like a couple white guys taking them out. So
Monroe Martin, we need him down.
No.
Oh, white guys.
Yeah, I think you got to replace. It's like
we need the hospitals to be full
Ari Shaffir.
Of comedians with broken kneecaps.
Well, that could be a threat to get people to do our podcast. If you've done our pod, we won't need take your knees out.
Good idea. Comedians in cars getting coffee. Comedians in hospitals getting their legs broken.
Comedians in hospitals getting their cruciate.
And then we start a pod and we bring them on when they're in the hospital.
We could do the pod while in the hospital. They can't go anywhere. They got to do the pod. we'll pay your copay if you do this. Yeah.
Plus we get their spots. I think for real. I think we've been here a year. There's people who've been here like 6-7 years and they're finally getting. Oh, yeah. Passed at these big clubs so they can make $50, $75 a spot. Anyway, that's the next level in New York. And then what the goal is for New York City is to do all these spots, make it up. Like, okay, so any of these people we've had on, Ari Shaffir, Mark Norman, Jeannie Asheray, all these people can run around New York doing all these spots, making $50 at a time, doing 6 spots in a night, and pay their rent by doing comedy in New York. And then they can go on the road and make all the real money.
And that's not the way in China? There's no...
We are both at this very odd spot where we can make more money living in China right now doing comedy than we could right here.
Oh, yeah.
They're taking our jobs overseas.
Tell you. So you're going back in a couple weeks, right?
I'm going back next month, yeah.
Yeah.
Got a headline.
There you go. See, you're a headliner out there.
I'm still milking at the teat of my China fame.
How long are you be there?
2 weeks.
All right.
Going to do 2 weekends of shows. And I will be just reveling. It's so nice. It's such a relief to go back there and have people appreciate you and be special and
be a rock star again.
And they're just so eager to laugh at your jokes. In New York, it's a real different feel.
Wait, tell them what happened last night. Well, last night we were at the Lantern.
I did. So I have a new joke. You know, my jokes are definitely tapping into how I'm feeling. So, ego is a little bruised these days. So one of my jokes is I say like, you know, catcalling, it's a problem in New York. What I think the women in New York should do is they should catcall the men. Not because it's gonna solve the problem, but because I could use the ego boost. And the joke's not super funny, but what it is good is every single time I've done it, some woman in the audience catcalls me.
Oh.
And last night, this woman, right in the front row, she goes, well, you know, you a snack.
She goes, boy, you a snack.
And I was like.
And he's like, what?
I was like, what does that mean? And she was like, means I want to eat you up.
She goes, that's what we say. We say you a snack. That means I want to eat you up.
Wow. And did you bang her?
I told him to.
You know
no,
what?
It's a great new joke. Because it's a way for you to figure out who in the audience wants to hook up.
I know,
with
it's
you.
Your way to get numbers.
That, and I mean, every time it's just full on a platter of crowd work material. Like, you do a joke like that, and then the joke itself doesn't get that many laughs, but there's so much great crowd work afterward. You can do 10 minutes of just responding to the insane shit that the women say.
How's that been, by the way? How have the ladies been since the last time we checked in?
Yeah.
Last time you had no idea what you were doing.
I
still don't.
But you were living in Manhattan. You were living right in the middle of Manhattan. And so that was a bonus. So I'm assuming you're still there.
No, I now live in the deepest, darkest parts of Brooklyn. I live in Bay Ridge, which I'm still not sure is even in New York. They tell me it is, but I don't believe it.
So how's it been going? How do you find the American ladies?
The American ladies, they're nice. They're not. It all interested in me, and that's fine. You know,
really?
they're all. I say that they're all pursuing their own careers. That's
Except
what I think.
That lady last night was.
You the lady last snack. Night, she thought it was a snack.
Yeah, you got to turn the apartment thing into an advantage because, like, Manhattan girls will still go out with you, but then they won't. They'll have no interest in going to your place.
Absolutely not.
Because they're like, don't even like. You could say anything. Like, they Bay Ridge means nothing to them. It's just like, so you always can have control. You stay over on their side.
Yeah, you stay there. Go
you
to
can
their place.
Get out. If you need to, you don't want to stay tonight. You're like, I got to get back to Bay Ridge. It's a long trip, you know.
Sounds like a good idea because I have gone out with a girl, and at the end of the night, been like, so this is going well. Would you like to take an hour and a half train trip back to my house?
No, you don't tell them that.
Yeah, you just get on the train.
You just go, I live in Brooklyn. Yeah, you don't say where. They think it's going to be Williamsburg.
If it's either Williamsburg.
Getting the old bait and switch.
Yeah.
Let's get on the R line.
Yeah.
Let's see where it takes us.
And then help you have an hour and a half worth of material.
30 stops later.
Yeah. Hey, that's your real act.
That's actually the date.
That's your real comedy act. Forget stand-up. Yeah, you need to work on your hour and a half for the train.
Oof.
Your hour and a half train ride.
Good practice.
Banter.
And hope I don't get interrupted by one of the many performers on the train that'll be fighting me for stage time.
Actually, that's an extra way for you to make money. Start performing on your way
in.
Yeah,
nobody does stand up on the trains. They do like, you know, all sorts of things, dance shows.
Yeah, they do break dancing. They sell.
The break dancing thing drives me nuts because they're like knocking. It's like, it's very dangerous. Like, gonna knock me over.
Yes.
There's like a new thing where guys, have you seen the guys using the poles?
I keep seeing these
kids using like poles like they're almost like a strip show.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know why no girls have gotten involved in this. $1 billion idea there.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're like just girls. Dudes spinning around.
Shirtless guys spinning around on a pole. And I'm supposed to give them money for this?
So what are your days like? What are you doing during your day? That's what everyone asks about comedians. Like, what do you do all day? You go out and you do comedy for 10 minutes a night. You're not going to get rich that way.
First of all, comedy is like a
gigolo.
Job. Because we're going out. You know, I head out usually at like 6. And I'm not back at my place till like 1 in the morning. So it's job-like hours.
Yeah, that's true.
And then then the day, you know, you're trying to take care of the rest of the stuff. I'm writing a lot. You know, that's what I'm trying to do. Like, we were just in a Mama Hoo Hoo sketch together.
We were. Check viral video. I'm viral right now.
Viral?
Turner's viral.
On the internet. And then it's like, everyone else says it
How
is,
many
though.
Views has it gotten?
It came out like a few hours
16,000?
Like 16,000?
Yeah.
One day.
How do you do that? What's the secret?
Oh,
it's all me, baby.
Hot. Mama Hoo Hoo.
What's Mama Hoo Hoo?
Joe
does this even mean?
Star. So, well, that's what I want to get to. Joe is the. When we were in China, Joe was the star of this like viral. What do you even call that? A viral video company?
No, it's a comedy channel.
Comedy channel. They have 130,000 subscribers.
150,000.
150,000. So anything they put out on YouTube gets like you have one.
But
that
in
got
China,
3 million views. No, YouTube.
So YouTube. The internet. Believe it or not,
YouTube's on the internet.
It exists beyond borders. Yeah. It is Donald Trump's nightmare. It is borderless.
Okay.
It is just accessible. But I thought,
not really.
You're
not allowed.
But who are the people watching these viral videos? They're people in America.
People on the internet.
I know, but do you know where they're from or no?
Yeah, the internet.
Okay.
Users.
I know, but you can
see them all over the world.
It's
bro.
Mostly people floating in a raft in the middle of the Pacific Ocean.
Okay.
They were
wherever
their...
that big trash pile is.
Should I? Can I
people trash people?
How do I get
it's aquatic trash people?
Trash
people. You remember Water World with Kevin Costner?
Yes.
It's those people.
It's mostly them.
Can you help me if I want to make like a viral kids video thing? Because I've seen them all. I know the secrets to making. I just need to get like a big egg. I need to get weird costumes. I get my kids involved. I know how to do it.
Hard pass.
I'm telling you. They get millions of views.
We got to start a channel.
Millions.
Did you like say viral?
We put out, he does all these videos. That's the thing with Schaefer. He's like, over there, everyone knows him. He comes here, he's doing 8 minutes at the Lantern.
That's why I want to go back to China desperately.
Wow. You're a king over there.
Now, when I like
a
soccer
star. No one knew me either.
He's like a soccer star, can walk the streets here.
So actually, one time I was on stage here, and one of my jokes is I talk about how I have this viral video. My most popular one got 3 million views. By the way, Just to preface this, I don't make them, I write them and star in them.
You're an actor in them.
Yeah, I don't, so I can't,
oh,
you're asking, can
I thought
I,
you
like,
ran a channel or something.
He's not a director, oh, okay. He doesn't do the
I don't
channel.
Do any of the hard
it's
stuff.
It's this other guy, Alessio.
That's all Alessio.
Oh, okay.
I don't know how to, the nuts and bolts.
Alessio Avenzo, is that right?
Let me get a meeting with Alessio.
Shout out.
I don't know, I've never heard shout out.
Shout out
I know
him.
All the props needed to make a successful weird kids video.
We'll talk that's to Alessio Avenzo.
Let's get him on.
But in one of my jokes, I referenced the viral video, and in one show, this girl in the front row starts just looking it up. I mean, because that's what millennials do now.
Right. Yeah.
They're like, I need to fact check this immediately.
In the middle of the show.
I can't stand
that's
a moment
a problem
of
with being single. You can't even, like, tell a fib to a girl because they can look it up immediately. You know?
Oh,
wait,
true.
What
true.
What like sexual fibs, no. A, are you telling? And B, which no. sexual fibs can be
oh, come
immediately
on, Schaefer.
Disproved
play,
on the internet? Say,
don't play false on this podcast. 90% of being single is lying.
Yeah, I mean,
everyone
come on.
Knows that.
I mean, you know, being
yeah,
like,
but what lie is being disproven with a cursory Google search? It's like, it's
no,
like,
you can say, I directed this movie.
Like,
blah,
I just
blah,
found
right?
an article where it says you have genital warts. Boom.
No, it's like, hey, the moon's bright tonight. And you're like, oh, yeah, you mean the crescent moon? Like, you throw out facts that you hope they don't know.
Oh, my God.
Professor Sparks.
What kind of horrible person would you, what kind of horrible
have
person
have you listened
you
to this podcast?
Yeah, I was married.
Do you know what world you're in?
All right.
So anyway,
now I know why you're not getting laid.
I know you're too
honest. There's a multitude of reasons I'm not getting
you're
laid.
You're not doing any of this.
I don't want to explore it too much. I was called a snack. Let's just.
But if you start telling girls you have a video that's got 3 million hits, that's a start.
No, he does that. I've heard him do it on stage.
Yeah.
So this girl in the front row starts looking it up, and then everybody stops because now this girl is the star of the show, the fucking arbiter of truth.
Well, yeah.
And the reception shit. So it's taking forever.
She goes. I'm like, oh, did you find it? And she goes, yeah. It just like popped up immediately. I'm like, yeah, that's how big it is. And she was like, yeah, it's you. And you're wearing the same shirt.
Hey.
And then she goes, and I go, well, how many views does it have? And she says, oh, it's 3 million. And I was like, yeah, it's pretty good, right? She was like, yeah. And I was like, what the hell? 3 mil?
Yeah, but they're also watching you in the lantern where there's like the Mexican like cook is walking by with the trash full, like can full of garbage. Yeah. I do stand up there too. I'm not saying I'm any better than you.
There's nothing that'll undermine a good premise, a good setup for a joke, like a Mexican dude carrying a giant bag of garbage right through the middle of the room.
Come to the lantern if you want to see this guy. Really, next show.
Really, leftover nacho stench.
It's hard to deliver a solid punchline when you got that. It's like the subway, like I said.
You can hear the bathroom, the toilet flush from downstairs in the middle of your punchline. Have you ever done a stand-up there when... I think the number one thing, maybe specific to the lantern, but is the real lack of respect that comedians have here compared to in China. Like, they're like, you're the star. No one's ever seen it before. And we were way worse at comedy when we were living there than we are now. Would you agree?
Yes.
Even in the year, being here. But... the way you get treated is like a star out there. The way you get treated here, I've literally been doing a show when the Mexican cook has come on
the stage.
Is it always
the Mexican? Or the cook?
It's the guy. It's a specific person.
So
he comes on the stage to like turn the light off from the kitchen because for some reason the kitchen light is on stage.
Right behind where the comedian stands. And if you've seen a lot of New York comedians, and Turner and I were saying this earlier, it's kind of one of our pet peeves, but a lot of comedians, So as a comedian, you want to portray a sense of control, like you're confident up on stage, and people will do that. They'll like do the lean against the wall.
The cool guy move is like to put their leg up against the wall, lean back like
I'm yeah, like from
I'm
the
super
album
cash,
cover.
Guys, I'm real casual.
Yeah,
I'm
it's
leaning
an album
back.
Cover.
But the thing about that is that backfires on everybody because the light switch, they will turn off the lights in the kitchen where a guy is like chopping up a wedge salad with a meat cleaver.
And then the
chef comes out. He's like, what are you doing? And then
he'll
the guy on stage.
Yeah, he'll be like, who ordered the hot dog?
Right.
Like in the middle of your bit. And he's like, come on, who ordered this?
My big takeaway is when I've been in the lantern and I see the menu and it's like nachos or tamale, I'm like, I would never get Mexican food here, but now I know it's like an authentic chef.
Oh, yeah, you should. They're pretty good.
Yeah.
Oh, so, but now going on are you doing the road? Are you getting out there at all?
I'm
doing it a bit, which I feel like is still the same. So I feel like people at our level in New York do... to make money as a comedian. They're doing colleges and whatever else they can do, meaning like commercials. I'm doing country clubs now. Fantastic. I heard Paul Johnson was telling me recently that he's doing old folks' homes.
That's the best. I mean, you talk about an untapped market.
Put this money there, no?
Yeah, wherever there's money. Like, you're
you just got to talk loud.
You do have to talk
very
loud.
Very loud.
You know who do good at the old and folks' homes? The wheelchair comedian, whoever we're
whoever we knock out.
Yeah,
yeah. If you can get,
because
right,
they can,
and
they
if
can
you can get them to
the
catcall at you.
Yeah,
always good.
I would fuck you. In my day, a snack was it was whatever you. We didn't have snacks. We were poor.
Yeah.
We used to eat dirt.
You can't impress them with your YouTube hits though. So.
Yeah, I don't.
YouTube?
They don't know YouTube.
What do you say?
What's a YouTube?
YouTube?
The boob tube?
The boob tube.
It's so that's the way you make money, basically. People always ask, like, how you really make money at this? You do it by figuring
volume.
There's only a certain amount of clubs in America, comedy clubs.
That's true.
And they're not booking everybody. So before you get into clubs, you're like getting into anything else you can. All these other places that hire comics. So
I think that's genius that you're. They go to do country clubs.
University of Miami, November 8th or 9th, I'm not sure.
Come to both nights. Just stay there.
Just stay
Hang
there.
Outside.
Figure it out.
Yeah.
I'll be performing there at the U.
The U.
Going home. November 4th at the Del Paso Country Club in Sacramento,
did we not
California.
Mention these earlier?
I did not.
All right.
These are kind
plug,
of
plug,
shows,
plug.
So That's the way to do it. So what
I
do you
feel
think?
Like the country club show is not exactly a just show up and...
It is not.
Do we have a lot of country club members listening to this podcast? Sorry. I think we have a lot of audience from the country clubs that don't let Jews in.
Probably.
That's,
yeah.
I hope so, at least.
So what, are you happy you moved here?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, what you lack in material gain, you get in just satisfaction from being in the best scene in the world. I mean, it sucks being a star in the sense that when you're the star, there's no push to get better. When you're here, you're wallowing in the trenches and you...
That's been the key.
You know, you feel like... I'm doing it with the best, and I need to. You're constantly being reminded that you need to improve. Like, I'm constantly doing shows. I'm looking at people.
It's a great place
that
to
are clearly, objectively better than me, and I'm like, well, I don't want to be shitty and mediocre. I've got to go and
keep working. See if you can move further in.
I want to be as funny as the dude going out into the crowd and making people dance or whatever.
That guy's pretty good.
That guy's awesome.
He'll be there tonight.
I got to work on my dance game.
And what about America? What have you learned? In the past year of being back, like, do you feel like you got a grasp on things now, or are you still...
Well, you know, I was thinking about it when the girl in the front row called me a tasty snack.
it was fantastic.
Suddenly I realized, because I've been here a year now, I was like, when I first got here, I would have been like, oh, you know, I was gone for so long, that's why I don't know what a snack means. But then I was realizing, like, last night, I was like, I think it's less that I lived away from America and more I'm old. Because nobody else knew what the fuck a snack was either.
One thing that I thought of on that exact thing, because I was there, was that New York City is so culturally diverse. Neighborhood to neighborhood has different slang. If we were in Shanghai and someone said some slang term, every person in the audience would know it if they were Chinese. You know what I mean? If a Chinese person said it, every Chinese person in the whole city would know it at that time. I was saying that to Yaya last night. She said I was wrong, so she's going to hate this part of the pod, but shout out.
she can answer.
Here is literally like neighborhood to neighborhood. America's, I mean, New York really? Specifically, it's crazy. Yeah. I'm sure you use terms that I use and no one knows. No one, you know what I mean? A snack, you're right. No one knew what the fuck she was talking about, but everyone sort of got it.
I know what she's talking about. Yeah. I say that all the time.
You call
then,
people
then
snacks.
I got in trouble.
You Weinsteined it?
Yeah, we'll get to that later.
You harved.
Hey, Jennifer, can I get a black coffee? And
she harved you.
Yeah, also you're a snack.
No comment.
You're my favorite receptionist.
There's also, yeah, you're right. I think there is an adjustment period coming back. Like, I do feel like now, I don't know, I still don't know enough to cancel this pod. Don't worry, we're not over. We're still going. I'm still lost in America. But I do feel a little more comfortable on stage with the idea of I know what's going on. Like, when you first moved to China, doing comedy would be difficult also because you're like, I don't know local references. I don't know streets. I don't know things. Just news items, you know?
Yeah.
Now you do.
Now you know?
A little more.
Sorry, I zoned out there. I stop listening.
Oh, man, that's a good guest.
That's a good guest. You and Des Bishop, top two.
Would he zone out a lot?
He fell asleep.
He actually fell asleep.
In the middle of our podcast.
That's amazing.
Yeah, he took a nap.
Well, during the new, we didn't have him, or the intro. I don't know.
At some point, he was sleeping on a couch.
Yeah.
That's bold.
Yeah.
That's what you can do when you have TV credits.
That's why we have a studio without couches.
Exactly.
People want to know the real difference between our level of comedians and the next. It's really how cavalier you are about falling asleep
during a podcast.
Yeah. I think that is really, really when you know you've made it.
Yeah, because you would.
When you fall asleep in an interview and they let you sleep. And then when you wake up, they're like, oh, are you back?
It was pretty early on the pod. We didn't have much confidence in what we were doing. Yeah. We saw him sleeping and we're like, well, I don't know. We keep going, I guess.
Just keep talking.
Sing him a lullaby or.
Yeah.
It was good.
I can't
shout out
get my kids to sleep that easily.
Put his right hand in warm water, see if he pisses himself.
Next guest who falls asleep.
Good move. All right, should we get to the news?
Let's get to the news. Find out what's going on.
Anything last you want to say?
Yeah, plug something.
In 1 year.
Yeah.
In 1 year, I have realized that humans are all the same.
Oh, sorry, I fell asleep. I Des Bishop'd you.
Get the water.
All right, let's get to the news.
You are not...
I said, let's get to
remember your place, Turner Sparks. You're not at sleeping in the middle of a podcast level.
I'm getting
level.
Close.
You're sleeping in his own podcast.
I headlined in studios last week at their show.
If you guys want to know a quick status about my luck with the ladies, after that show, that was a hot night for me. Because after that show, one of the girls of the show ran into me barking in front of Chloe. Chloe, which is the best.
Wait,
vegan.
Please, you have to explain what barking means
in front of Chloe.
So barking.
Is that from
that
whole neighborhood? What neighborhood is that slang from?
It's you know, it's 2017 in New York. There's a lot of fetishes. No, it's when you stand out on the corner of Bleecker and McDougal and try to convince people to go to a comedy.
Do you like
show.
Comedy? That you're one of those people.
I'm one of those people. Yeah. So that's barking. It's part of the hustle.
Sure,
part of the hustle. And
you should catcall Wade.
No. This girl comes up, had seen me at the Ent show.
Wow.
Oh,
she really
wow,
gets
nice.
Around all night.
So apparently, she thought I was something of a, you know what I'm going to say.
A snack?
Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
So she starts talking to me
Rice
all
Krispie
about.
Treat.
She was like, oh, so you like really single? And I really liked it. And then she told me about a story about how she almost fucked Cuba Gooding Jr.
Whoa. There we go.
Did she inset?
Buried the lead.
Oh, yeah. Like, all
almost
right.
The key. You might not want to
By the way,
that.
I saw Cuba Gooding Jr. at first floor of Bob's office the other day. So, okay. So she told you that?
You had something to talk to him about.
So,
now.
You know,
like,
hey,
know a girl
is that her way of convincing you that she's good enough for Cuba so she's good
exactly,
enough for you?
Exactly.
It's kind of the Harvey Weinstein.
It's sort of a value add. Like, if we hook up, not only will you get laid, you'll also be Eskimo Brothers
right.
with Cuba.
Right,
Oscar
but he did.
Winning actor Cuba Gooding
Jr. But she did
Jr.
fuck her, she said. Or she did.
She did.
Oh, she's no. That's right. She said at the end she made out. She got a little. She got a make out.
Wait,
face to
she
face.
Got a little sugar.
So what do you call that? Was that like a? It's not an Eskimo brother.
Well, he
was
fluffed
that
her up
like
and
a,
then you.
Like
you're
a, to... I don't know.
And so what happened?
Like
you going
an
out
Alaska
with her?
Alaska brother.
Yeah. Are you going out with her? Is that the girl you met up with last night?
So this is what I've. This is a real. You're gonna laugh at me because it's a real rookie mistake. I like threw her my card. I was like, "What's up, girl?" She's like, "I'll text you later tonight."
And she never texted.
And then I realized that my card doesn't have my phone number on it.
What does it have on your? What is on your card?
Nothing.
There's no email.
There's an email.
Oh, your email.
I don't think you can email somebody a booty call though. That's.
But she could email you her number.
I believe the youngsters would call that being thirsty.
Well, you can email a number though. Or
I think the problem.
Do you have iPhone? Can you set up messages?
No, I don't have an iPhone.
I think the problem is when you're doing a set at the Int Studios on the Int stage, you're a big shot.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
When you're yelling at passersby to try to get them to go to the lantern so they can hang out with a Mexican cook, you're fucking down in the gutter.
You've lost a little bit of your clout, a little of your prestige.
If you're listening out there. Mystery girl.
Oh, yeah. This is a missed encounter. What do they call that?
Missed connection.
Missed connection.
Give your phone number right now? Should we give our...
That should be a segment of the pod, missed connection.
Anyway, so email him. You have his card. Email him. Or Ents him.
You can reach me at 1-800-DESPERATE-COMEDIAN.
Ents us Lost in America.
Ents us. What's your Ents name? You're on it.
Close Shave.
Anything to promote, Shaver?
Anything to promote? I want everybody to check out the new Mama Hoo Hoo that I wrote and that Turner and I star in, and that is getting a lot of people are saying it's great. It's getting a lot of that to Turner's question.
Very Trump-like.
How do you know if
a lot
it's
of people
funny?
Are saying
Oscar buzz for me.
Other YouTube Oscar awards. Buzz.
I'm gonna share the stage with Cuba Gooding. He's gonna announce us on stage at the Oscars.
Yeah,
and he's gonna be like, "Yo, I heard you smashed." I was in there.
You a snack.
And I was like, well, Cuba, I heard you didn't close.
Yeah.
But I did.
Hey!
Hello!
Joe Schaefer. YouTube. You go to YouTube.com.
I think our listeners know how to find YouTube, all right?
Mama who? Mama.
Explain to the kids what YouTube means.
Yeah. All right, let's get...
YouTube. When I was young, we had YouTube.
All right.
Boob-tube.
Let's get to the news. Story of the week from the New York Times. This one is very close to home.
Incredible.
It says, here's the title.
You?
Heard the one about Asia's comedy scene?
Whoa. So I'm stopping you there. Is an article about you in
this
the Times?
This is an article about the comedy scene in China and in Asia, more specifically in China, more broadly in Asia, from the New York Times.
Holy shit.
The place where Joe Schaefer and I, along with Andy Curtin, Drew Fralick, we all started. William Childress, who was on the pod before. These are the guys. We all started this, Tam Yimick, 7 years ago, 2009, 2010, 2011, right there. We started the China scene, mainland China. Now the New York Times has decided
it's finally come to interview you, I'm sure.
Even though they kind of do this every year, and every year they act like they've never done it before.
This is the yearly
like
check-in on a new,
every
a new
year
trend.
Someone from New York Times writes this article and acts like they're the first person to ever hear about this scene. If they would just read their own paper from a year ago, they would know it's been written.
Nobody reads the Times.
Yeah, that would require some research, which this article proves they are unwilling to do.
Let me just say right off the bat that this article is hot garbage.
Wow.
But we'll start. Okay, so.
It's a bit lazy.
The failing New York Times.
The failing New York Times.
Yeah.
Says the title, heard the one about Asia's comedy scene? Yes, we read your paper last year. We didn't hear about it.
Oh, boy.
We read your paper 2 years ago. And then the next, first, you'll need a permit. So the full title, heard the one about Asia's comedy scene? First, you'll need a permit by Charlotte Graham. Okay, let's start with
Schaefer. Sorry, Charlotte, in advance.
Before we even get through the title, Schaefer, have you ever needed a permit to perform comedy?
Not to my knowledge.
No.
I have not needed it.
So first, you'll need a permit? No, you do not. We have never needed a permit in 7 years to do comedy in China.
No. Fake news.
One Pinocchio.
Go.
One Pinocchio.
Next. One Pinocchio.
Okay, then it starts out by talking about Storm Shu.
Ah, former pod guest.
Former pod guest. It pretty much only talks about Storm Shu.
Friend of the pod?
When it talks about comedy in mainland China. Every comedian takes the stage wanting to make people laugh, but it is less satisfying when the audience has been ordered to do so before the first joke has been told. Storm Shu, a Chinese comedian, found that out during a surreal experience of performing for the country's military. Okay. So
first of all, it really, really takes all of the fun out of performing in China when I find out that everybody's required to laugh. I mean, that's just...
Has anyone ever been required to laugh at one of your shows?
I guess,
the answer is no.
I guess that was why they had all the soldiers with the rifles standing in the back of the
show. But maybe only for Chinese comics.
No! We do shows with the Chinese comics every single night.
And they don't get more laughs than you? More required sounding laughs?
There's no military. First of all, no, they don't.
Okay. Just checking.
I was fibbing. I was making a joke. There's no soldiers in the back of the room.
None of this is on. Storm, I guess, did one show one time for a Chinese military. And then the New York Times has taken that one specific thing and decided that's what comedy is at every show.
Well,
in
that's
China.
What all these kind of stories always are, no matter who they're writing. They could be writing about a neighborhood in Brooklyn or halfway across the world. They take one story that someone tells them, and then that's a trend.
Is that it?
Yeah, that's what they do. It's lazy reporting.
They try to extrapolate that. I mean, it's not. This one's not on Storm because that story is accurate that he did that, and that obviously the Chinese military they were being controlled by the government. The optics of it were controlled by the government. But then they go on. They then take
reading.
That story. Okay.
Yeah. The Chinese government requires Storm to submit scripts in advance of his commercial performances that gets him a permit to tell jokes. So basically they're saying...
A permit to tell jokes.
He needs a permit to tell jokes. Again, we've never needed a permit to tell a joke ever.
Two Pinocchios.
That nose isn't growing.
He also has to provide video of someone reading the comedy lines aloud. I mean, this is just purely false.
No, I don't think. I think it's not false. See, the problem with this
should
is
I keep going?
It's a sin of omission.
Right. They're saying for if you perform for the military.
They're saying maybe for that one show.
Well, no, they
show
didn't say that, which is
but
it is true for that, but the problem is they're not mentioning that it's in a very
right, they're making it seem
context.
Like that's this is a trend about Chinese comedy and
sorry,
that's how it
I
is.
Sorry, I missed the line where they say many of Storm Shu's shows come through Chinese government agencies. Then the Chinese government requires him to submit scripts. So they're kind of like they're putting that in and hoping you don't notice that they're only talking about these specific shows. Government censors have told them to remove jokes, not for political content, but for being too rude.
Too rude?
Well, that actually happens to me. You know, I write the sex advice column in City Weekend. I meant, by the way.
In
you,
China.
All
you write sex advice in China after you're clueless or clueless about this?
I've been an advice columnist for 5 years.
Wow.
But you've never heard of lying to get trying to get laid.
Exactly.
That's a new concept to you. I've literally never.
My God. What could I be doing if I was in China?
Lived in an incubator your whole life.
Well.
So anyway, do you have to do other permits for that? Or are there like censors you're saying?
Censored heavily. Yeah. So I have to, one of the things I have to do while writing is I have to lean heavily on euphemisms.
Right.
You know, because
the birds and the bees.
God forbid I say oral sex, but I can say, you know, packing the grease piece in your cheek or like playing the Hong Kong hide and seek or something, you know, use some.
But is it translated or is it for an English paper? Like you writing it?
No, it's for English language. City Weekend's English language.
Okay. And then, but you can't say, that's interesting.
Should I keep reading?
Right.
This is a direct quote from Storm. They'll decline you, speaking of the government, they'll decline you if the comedy is too obscene or dirty and you cannot swear on stage, he said. Is that true in any way?
Maybe for these government shows.
Again,
you can't
okay.
use Chinese swears, maybe.
When Mr. Shu travels to Hong Kong to perform, he can put swear words back into his script.
See, that's the most deceptive part to me right there, because that line makes it seem like when he goes to Hong Kong. So basically that is what is indicating that it's a mainland China thing.
Right. Yeah.
So that is the most deceptive little bit, in my opinion, because it intimates that, like, oh yeah, this is like a mainland China thing.
In all of China, you can't swear on stage.
Right.
Yeah, they're really taking it and really twisting it.
So I think it's more. I don't think this is Storm so much as the editor or the writer trying.
Here's the thing: they've been trying to write this article about our scene since we started, right? I mean,
sure.
Since 2010, 2009, whatever. People have been coming to us, maybe not the New York Times, but all these everything around the world, being like, "Whoa, you can't talk about politics in China. How do you do stand-up comedy?" It's like, dude, have you ever Seinfeld? Does he ever talk about politics?
Right.
There's millions of comedians across the world who never talk about politics, who can do as much stand-up comedy as they want.
I would say most comedians.
And then they try to make it seem like you're only like cool and hip if you're doing political comedy. Political comedy is the most hack comedy on earth right now. Oh, Trump.
Yeah, that's easy comedy.
Right?
And hey, guys, did you know that Trump has, get this, small hands?
Hey. Whoa!
It's a special deal, skill to go, what's the deal with Mr.
Cheeto,
Softy Ice Cream?
Mr. Cheeto face or whatever.
Yeah. Who among us has the balls to take on the sacred cow of Mr. Softy Ice Cream? I mean, only Turner Sparks really has the cojones.
Yeah. Exactly.
I don't know any local references, serve. What's the deal with KFC? I don't.
All right, one more quote, and then we're out of this story, okay? Unless you have anything else you want to say on this. This is the last story. Storm, again from Storm Shoe. Former podcast. I'm not trying to compare myself to Lenny Bruce and George Carlin.
Oh yeah.
We would have got more pod downloads if he was one of those two gentlemen.
But the position they were in the 1960s is perhaps the position people like me are in now. There are a lot of obstacles and a lot of opportunities. He's talking about doing comedy in China. I've never read a more false statement in my life. I'm just going to go on the record saying that.
I mean, it's so funny to me that he just described absolutely conforming to the government guidelines and making money on it, which is the very definition of selling out.
Right. Lenny Bruce would not have sold his...
He would have performed for a military
that's what I'm saying.
And then complained and that he was being censored by the military for that specific
show. Right, and wouldn't have let them see his jokes ahead of time.
Lenny Bruce is famous because he was arrested for doing comedy that subverted norms and was illegal. I mean, that is the whole point of Lenny Bruce. I mean, if Lenny Bruce, you know, was resurrected today and saw Storm do that, he would call him a tool. That would be
tool of the government.
Yeah, I mean, that is everything antithetical to what he represented.
So that's a good point. What you're saying is that, yeah, you can't. You're not Lenny Bruce or George Carlin when you're just... And he also says in there he's making money now as a comedian because he's taking these jobs to perform for the military
and
for the government.
Well, let's be clear. Good for Storm. Like, go ahead and do that. That's great. I mean, we're all trying to, you know...
As we said, we're trying to make money however we can.
But you can't do that, and then you can't sell out and then try to be like, yeah, I'm Lenny Bruce, because that's just so...
Lenny Bruce of the American country club scene.
Yes. We need to become like the podcast.
These country clubs don't want me to say what I want to, so I'm going to go to the New York Times. Yeah.
They absolutely
are ombudsman who doesn't want to say things, but
being subversive.
Where's the part in the article where he thinks the kung fu comedy scene? No.
Oh no, nowhere in there.
What's subversive?
Oh, that's the other thing. This whole article is covering all of comedy in China, but really, it's all just Storm. The whole thing's Storm Shoe. And I don't want to be sour grapes about this, but fuck it. It's my 50th. You know,
yeah,
it's our one year anniversary.
It's our 1 year leap year.
It's like my birthday. This is my reward. I get to say what I want, and. Yeah, it's ridiculous. There's no mention of anyone else in China.
I don't even get a single mention of being a snack in there, and I just think that is some BS.
You get called a Western expat man.
I don't like it.
That's what we all are.
Western expat men.
Yeah.
Good demo.
Not like
not snack.
Not Chinese like Storm.
No.
So that's it. Congratulations to Storm.
Yeah, you guys. There's nothing in the Times about your what you guys were doing.
There's not
anything. That's next year's trend article.
Next story.
Yes. What's next? What else is going on?
We're going local to local.
All right.
Staying global.
All right.
From Time Magazine. The cover of Time Magazine this week, Kaplan.
Yeah.
Goes to you. Time Magazine.
Goes to me. I'm not on the cover of the story.
Time Magazine is putting Harvey Weinstein, the controversy, front and center, featuring the Hollywood producer on the cover of the magazine. The title, it says Producer, Predator, Pariah.
Right.
Harvey Weinstein. P's. Now, the reason why this has to do with you is because you worked in the same building with Harvey Weinstein for the past 15 years.
Yes, and I should apologize to Weber on last week's pod. I think I compared the two of them. They're obviously very different people. Weber's still working in the industry, so.
Wait, oh, okay. You compared them before or after these revelations?
After.
I made a joke. Oh. But,
oh, man.
You know, anyway, both Jewish. Anyway, going on. Yeah, I worked in the same building for many years, saw Harvey many times.
What do you have to say about Big Harv?
I didn't know any of this because he never molested me, obviously.
Okay.
But I heard a lot of rumors.
So you didn't know?
Well, no, I heard a lot of rumors about, like, I knew.
Not even a grazing?
I'll tiptoe around this a little bit, but I knew that he was up to a lot of things.
Don't
I didn't
tiptoe.
Know.
It's our one-year anniversary.
I didn't stop
blue shirt is out. Yeah. But my whole, this one
Wait,
thing.
Wait, you knew what?
Well, I knew he was up to a lot of infidelity.
Okay.
And a lot of sketchiness.
Okay, no good.
I didn't know anything about rape. That rumor I didn't hear, but I heard a lot of rape. You know, the casting couch rumor, and so to
yeah,
speak.
Yeah, exactly.
Is the so none of it surprised me though, because my whole thing is that I don't want to get lost in all this. Is what a he's a obviously a sexual predator. All those things are true, but I don't want to get lost in this. What a giant prick he is.
Yeah,
and that was also known.
Oh, is that true?
Yes.
How so? How was he
like? I just mean like in general, like and this is one thing about Hollywood. I don't know if you know this because you guys are gonna be big stars in Hollywood today. But it's very accepted just to be, like, a giant asshole, and, like, it's charming almost, like, if you're successful.
And that's, why is
like,
that charming?
Like, I don't know why. It's not charming is the wrong word, but that's just, like, accepted as part of, like, your life in the industry. Like, if you work as an assistant, not me, but other people have worked as assistants for certain people, like, you get berated by agents, by, like, a lot of them are, like, the way they treat their workers is, like, the worst of any industry.
Well, like on that show, what was the HBO show?
Like on Entourage. Did I get into that?
That
I don't know.
Ari, the agent guy.
Yeah, that guy's based on a lot of people.
Total dick.
Yeah, that's exactly
and
what I mean.
Supposed
that's,
to, like,
and that's charming.
Like it.
He's a hero in that show.
Yeah,
he's a total asshole.
Yeah.
Yes, but that's what I'm talking about, that whole thing. So, like, Harvey, like, you know, I remember once I was at a Vanity Fair party for the Tribeca Film Festival, and Harvey's assistant called me very nervous.
Okay.
Because he couldn't make it to the party, and Harvey needed help getting in.
Okay.
And, like, they know me and there, and, like, can you go? I'm like, okay. They're terrified to do this. So I go outside, and I see him getting out of his car on his phone, and I literally am like, hi, Harvey, I'm Michael. I'm here. You're... And he just, like, knocks me out of the way, basically. He just, like, barely, like, walked into me and walked through me. And then I'm like,
mean
all right.
Nothing to him.
Yeah, I'm like, who am I? So obviously, if I was a chick, obviously, I'm sure
he would
stop.
Yeah,
if
I mean,
he can't, if he can't, like, sexually... Yeah. Attack you, then he has no use for you.
So he would like, and I would see him in the elevator all the time, and like, I've been in the building for years. He never would recognize someone like me, but like, he would just like literally like stand in the middle of the elevator. He's a big fat guy in a way that like, you basically almost couldn't be in the elevator with him. You were like in the corner, into this.
Do you think the idea of being a big fat guy in Hollywood is also like good? Like almost like the old days. Like, it seems like it makes you more powerful.
Yeah, you just take up more space.
You're intimidating, right? What's surprising to me about this whole story is that it surprises anyone.
Yeah.
Because as you mentioned the casting couch earlier, that's a term I've heard since I was a kid as a joke. It's like a punchline to, like, Hollywood, right? Like, get on the casting couch. Like, which means that the way you get ahead is by sleeping with a producer or something like that, right? Now for Hillary Clinton and all these people to be like, whoa, what?
Yeah.
Harvey, he never would have done something like this. Like, there's just Michelle Obama. And all stuff. There's no way they didn't know.
I mean, I do think that people like Obama, like, there's a kind of naivety of, like, they're just, like, if someone agrees with you, in general, everyone does it. But you just look past like things about them that are
Trump
negative.
Likes the KKK.
That's why
I'm not a racist.
Well, it's
I
why
just
the,
like people
it's
who
why
like
the
me.
Christian evangelicals like Trump, even though his whole lifestyle is completely different than what they stand for.
Sure,
because he's on their side.
Yeah, and so it's the same thing with Harvey Weinstein and Michelle Obama.
Yeah, and I don't know if you realize this, but Malia Obama was an intern over the summer in our building. Because of the connection.
For Harvey Weinstein?
Yeah, for his company. I see it all the time.
Oh, wow.
I saw her all the time. I saw the Secret Service guys all the time.
There's no way he would go after her.
Oh, no,
that would
not.
Be a bold molestation.
That
I'll tell
would
you
be.
What. I mean, you get a nuke dropped on your head for that.
No, Trump might give him a Medal of Honor or something. I don't
know. So that's how much the Obamas trusted him, though, was to let their daughter work there. So maybe they really didn't know. Can I tell you a news story I just read? Speaking of how you said liberal media is trying to be like, well, everyone does this. They're trying. It's a good idea to spin it anyway away from them,
right?
Because that's he
I mean, everyone does do it, but this level is. You know.
I just read a headline right before I came in that said Steve Bannon took money from Harvey Weinstein too.
Right, he
That's
was in
all
the film. Yeah, oh yeah, nice.
To be like, it's not only
when
us.
When was that? If that was because that was Steve, Steve Bannon used to work in the film industry. That's, I don't
see, know. And I thought Steve Bannon was a good guy.
And we all this time, okay, Steve Bannon,
KKK guy.
Is that it?
That's. I gotta run. I gotta get the kids at after school, or I get charged a bill like $1 a minute, $5 a minute. I got threatened. I don't know what the bill is, but every minute I'm late.
All right, let's get out of here. Shafe, thanks for being on the pod.
No problem. Check out Mama Hoo Hoo, everybody.
We'll bring you back for the 2 year.
Well, I can't wait.
That's not a bat. And then we'll release it as a box set at some point. Like
every
7 year,
years
from
yearly
now.
Check-in.
A 7-part episode. 7-part series.
We'll bring you back in once you've given a massage to someone important. Talk about it.
I'm out there looking.
Ensis at
we
Lost
will
in America.
We'll see you tonight, or, Schaefer, at the New York Comic Club show. Have a good trip to China. Everyone go see him out there. Cap, what should we do?
I'm getting lost.
Get lost.
I had the radio on. I was driving. Trees went by. Me and Del were singing. Little runaway. I was flying. Yeah, running down a dream that never would come to me. Working on a mystery. So good, like anything was possible. Hit cruise control and rub my eyes. The last 3 days, and the rain was unstoppable. It was always cold, no sunshine. Put the pedal down to make some time. There's something good waiting down this road. I'm picking up whatever is mine. I'm running down a dream. Down the drain.
Hello, CD listeners. We've come to the point in this album where those listening on cassette or records will have to stand up or sit down and turn over the record or tape. In fairness to those listeners, we'll now take a few seconds before we begin side two. Thank you. Here's side two.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.